Hey guys, welcome to the Anchored Hope podcast. I'm Pastor Mike, the lead pastor of Anchored Hope Church, and I hope that while you're listening today to our podcast, you can join us on Sunday mornings at 10 a.m. at 211 Boone Street. We'd love to have you. We hope that this message is encouraging to you, and we hope that you can also join us at our location at 211 Boone Street. Also, check out our Facebook page and our website, www.anchoredhope.church. We are finishing up our series today called I Would Believe, But. And what we've talked about the last 4 weeks is that, you know, everybody's got a but. Not just your physical but that's in your rear, but a but that says, you know what, I don't need to do this. I would do this. I want to. I would do it, but. And there, we've talked about a lot of different things that have probably held us back and kept us from believing in God. Some of us may even refer to ourselves as an atheist, that we're not even sure if there is a God. We don't know if we believe in God at all. And that's okay. We're glad you're here still. But those different hang-ups that we get, they become this barrier. They become this hump that's very hard to get over sometimes, right? And we've talked about all kinds of different aspects in all of our services. You can listen to our podcast or you can watch our services online at anchoredhope.church. We've got a link to Vimeo. You can get caught up, and maybe one of those would speak to you. You guys have given such great feedback through this series, and there's been a lot of ways that God has been talking to all of us through this series. But I want to finish up with one today that I think speaks to us at a very, very deep level, one that speaks to us right at the heart and probably is one of the most common ones that most of our culture and our country go through. And it's going to be this one right here. I want to believe, but I'm good. Right? I want to believe, but I'm good, as in I'm a good person. I don't really need to believe. I get why other people believe, and I get why other people go to church. I get why other people go and they pray, and they're down at the altar, you know, and it's so important to them. I get it for the addicts, for the thieves, for the murderers, for the selfish, for the lustful, for the people who have done something wrong. I get why they need a Savior, because they're not a good person. They need a Savior because they need saving, right? But not me. I mean, I don't really need to believe because I'm good. My family's good. My marriage is good. People like me. My relationship with my kids is good. My finances are good. My job is good. I'm what you would call a good citizen, right? I don't break the law. I don't have any priors. I don't even get a speeding ticket. I actually slow down on 61, right? And I'm a good person. And so I get it. For those people who are bad people, they need saving. And so they need a Savior, but not me, because I'm good. And I want to get a little bit into that belief, and what is a good person? What does it really mean to be a good person? And that's kind of the question we're going to look at. What is a good person? Now, I wanted to kind of do some research on this. It's kind of a broad topic to do research on. And so I wanted to kind of identify and get a definition of what a good person is. And so I went to the only trustworthy source I could think of, Facebook. And so I threw it out there on Facebook and I asked the world, what is a good person? Tell me what a good person is. This is some of the answers I got back. Some of you actually answered this question. I got this: trustworthy, understands right from wrong, someone that will have your back, someone who does good for others, puts others first, someone who holds the door for people. All right? So we know Dean's going to make it because he held the door for every single one of you this morning. What is a good person? Trustworthy, holds the door for people, they understand right from wrong. Okay. So here's my next question. How do you know you're a good person? How do you know? I think probably everybody in this room, unless you're extremely guilty, would say, I'm a good person. Well, how do you know that you are a good person? I believe, is my opinion, there are three little things that we turn to in order to identify if we are a good person. The first one is this: because I'm better than most, right? I'm not a terrorist. I'm not a murderer. I'm not a thief. I'm not like those bad people that we see, you know, their mugshots in the Lincoln County Journal. I'm better than most people because I don't get in trouble and I don't wind up in those situations and I don't end up in those predicaments. And so I can say that I'm a good person because I'm better than most. The second thing is this: because most people say I am. Pastor, if you went to my job and you took a survey, most of my coworkers like me, okay? I'm at a good B+, maybe even an A-, and most people like me. Ask my family, ask around. Most of them like me. Pastor, I have a Facebook account with 800 friends, and they like my stuff all the time. Sometimes they love it. Sometimes they give the wow face. I mean, I'm very well liked, and most people, if we took a survey, would say that I'm a good person. And then the last one is this, because I am most of the time. Because most of the time I am. I mean, Monday through Friday, I'm stand up. I show to work on time. I pay my bills. I do what I'm supposed to do. I mean, every once in a while, I let my freak flag fly. But, you know, I mean, other than that, I am a good person. I'm here, right? I'm here at church. How bad of a person can I possibly be when I'm here at church? I'm a good person because I'm better than most, because most people say I am, and because I am most of the time, all right? Most of us would agree with that, right? That's probably at least three of the big things that you turn to identify if you're a good person. So here's my next question. How good is good enough? If you're a good person, because you're better than most, where is that line where you are not better than most? Where is that line where you switch from being a good person to a bad person? Where is that line for you? Most people say you are. Well, at what number? Where's that line do we transition? Is it majority wins? If most people say you're a bad person, is that when you become a bad person? Is it because you're most of the time? What is it? What if you're 50-50, sometimes a good person, sometimes a bad person? Is it 50-50 enough? Are you still a good person? Is the glass half full or half empty? You tell me. How good is good enough? We're going to play a game, okay? We're going to play a game. We're going to see how this goes. Everybody has probably a phone with a flashlight, right? I want you to get your phone out. Get your phone out. It's the only time in church I'm going to tell you to get your phone out. No. Go ahead and get your phone out, and you have a little flashlight. Turn that flashlight on. We're going to play a game. Turn the flashlight on your phone, okay? And yeah, good. Good, good, good. Go ahead, get them up. So here's what we're going to do. Go ahead and wave them up in the air like you just don't care, all right? Woo, very pretty. I like that. Very good. Some of you're having to show your mom where her flashlight is on her phone, aren't you? You're like, yeah, grandma, this is amazing, right? I was accurate. It is happening. Okay, go ahead and put them down. Okay, so keep them on. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to play a little game. We're going to take a survey. This is going to be really fun, okay? So I'm going to give you a situation on the screen, and you tell me if it's a good person or a bad person. If it's a bad person, I want you to raise your flashlights up. If it's still a good person, I want you to put your flashlights down, okay? You with me? We're good? So if it's bad, put it up, all right? So let's start with an easy one, all right? Go ahead, Bo. Robbed someone. Bad person? Show me. Bad person. Okay, go ahead, put them down. Majority of you, right? Some of you are afraid because you're like, where's he going with this, all right? So you're just still like waving it down here, looking at the ground. That's cool. So the majority of you agree, rob someone is bad, right? Okay. All right, let's go to the next one. Rob to get rich and hurt people in the process. Bad person? Okay, go ahead and put them down. Our complaint department's down the stairs to the right in the nursery. All right, go to the next one. Rob to get rich but doesn't hurt people. Bad person? Slow and a little hesitant. Maybe. All right, put him down. Go to the next one. Rob to help someone and doesn't hurt anyone in the process. Bad person? Even slower reaction. I just described Aladdin and Robin Hood, just so you know. As you rethink your childhood and the movies you let your children watch. All right, let's go to the next one. Rob someone of happiness. Bad person? A little faster on that one. Okay, put them down. Next. Rob the child. Oh, very fast. That was like a sprint. Okay, put them down. Next one. Rob the government. Very slow. Nobody's hand is over their head. It's like, nah, nah, nah. Next one. Robbed a robber.
A lot of, it sounds like a jury in here. All right, go ahead and put him down. Here's the point of that experiment, right? And it went how I thought it would go. Here's the problem, right? Everybody for the majority agreed that a robber is a bad person. Everybody was pretty quick and pretty all on the same page that a robber's a bad person. Oh, somebody who robs somebody, that's bad. But then as we got into situations, it became situational. And then sometimes you doubted, or sometimes you were half and half, or sometimes you weren't certain. And let me ask you, what's the difference between any of those people? The point is that you agreed that robbing was wrong. But however, when you robbed the government, you weren't so sure. When you robbed a child, you were certain. When you robbed a robber, I don't know. When you robbed and you hurt somebody in the process, definitely. When you robbed somebody but didn't hurt them and it was actually to help somebody else, you were on the fence. Here's the point of the illustration. No one knows what a good person really is. No one knows what a good person really is. And here's the thing. If you don't know what a good person is, how can you know if you're really good? See, even in all the definitions and all the things that people gave me on Facebook, it was all situational. It was all really about how likable a person is. What's a good person? Well, let me think of somebody that I like, somebody who does things that are likable for me, somebody who holds the door, somebody who's trustworthy, somebody who does something for me and I benefit from it. Those are the kind of people that I like, and so those are the type of people that I think is good. We really, truly don't know what a good person is. So how could we call ourselves good? And how could we ever really know what that line is when there's so much gray and when it's so situational? See, the thing is that we really can't say that we're good because we're better than most. We really can't go off of what other people say about us. Because here's the truth, right? Here's the truth. Isn't there some truth that one person at work, that one person in your life, that one ex, that one family member that has seen the bad in you, who if we asked them, we said, are they a good person? Definitely not. Let me tell you a story. Isn't it true that one person who wouldn't call you good knows something or has seen something in you that nobody else has? So can we say because nobody else has seen it that really, that one person, that just because most people say you're good, that you're really good? Because isn't it true that one person who says that you're not good has just seen something that nobody else has? Maybe, possibly. I mean, the one or two people who don't think you're a good person, maybe they understand something about you that nobody else has. They've seen something that nobody else has. And the majority of the people who say they're good, and that we're good most of the time, they maybe have never seen that different side of you. And see, and here's my point of this whole thing, is I think a lot of times we refuse God, and we decide not to believe in God. And we decide, I'm not going to ask for forgiveness, I'm not going to believe in God, I'm not going to follow God, because the truth is that we know what God believes. And the truth is that God doesn't believe that we are good people. God doesn't believe that anybody's good. See, Paul says this in Romans. He kind of gives us this theology right here, and he says, all have turned away, and they have together become worthless. There is no one who does good, not even one. So here's the truth of the matter, and the reason why I think a lot of times we avoid God is because subsequently, if I believe in God, I have to believe what God believes, and what God believes is that I am not good. What God believes is that all have sinned and all fall short. What God believes is that inside of us, every single one of us, is this nature that is naturally selfish, that when put into a hard spot where we have to choose between others and ourselves, we will always choose ourselves. We will always choose our spouse. We will always choose our child. We will always choose our career. We will always choose ourselves over someone else. Because it's natural, because it's innate in us, because we were born into a world of sin. And so God says, I don't believe anybody's good. And I think that's the thing that a lot of us don't like. If I say I believe in God and if I follow God, it's to believe what God believes. So subsequently, I have to believe that I am not good, that I have sinned, that I fall short, that I'm weak. And man, we don't like that because to believe in that would believe in this. If I believe in God, I have to admit that I'm guilty. Ooh, I don't like that. If I believe in God, I have to believe that I am guilty, that I have sinned, that I am not a good person, but rather a bad person who has done bad things. That I am guilty of selfishness, that I am guilty of anger, that I am guilty of words that should not have been said, that I am guilty of taking advantage of people, that I am guilty of lusting after someone that I should not lust after. I am guilty a lot. And that leads to my other thing is, if I believe in God, I have to admit that I need accountability. Now, we really don't like this one. Because I'm in control. I'm a good person. I got this. I'm doing just fine. And I don't need anybody else. My way is working. But to believe in God is the belief that I am not enough, that I don't have all the answers, that I can't see everything, that I don't always have the strength, that I actually need somebody to keep me accountable, that I need somebody that I can lean on and depend on, because the truth is I have to admit that I am a weak person. And back me into the wrong corner, say the wrong thing to me, catch me on the wrong day, and I'm a bad person. All it takes is the perfect recipe, and I will get there, and nothing will stop me from blowing up, from getting mad, for saying something that I'll regret, and doing something wrong. And so to believe in God is to admit that I need accountability. And that leads me to this. If I believe in God, I have to admit that I'm wrong. Oh! That I am wrong. That I'm wrong sometimes about what I believe, that I'm wrong sometimes about what I think, that I'm wrong sometimes about the things that I do, that I'm wrong sometimes about politics, that I'm wrong about things and situations, that I'm wrong sometimes in what I say, that I'm wrong in some of the things that I take part in, and I have to admit that I'm wrong and that I chose the wrong thing, that I said the wrong thing, and I have to admit that. Oh, I don't want to do that. And that's why a lot of us don't believe in God. We don't believe in God. We believe that we're a good person because we're better than most, because most people say we are, and because we are most of the time. And that is good enough for me. Here's the problem, though. It's not good enough for God. Might be good enough for you. Might be good enough for your time here on this earth. But it's not good enough for God. Now, this is very depressing. I know, right? Some of you are depressed. And here's the thing. What is it that keeps us from admitting this? I'm going to get there. I'm going to get to the happy news, okay? What is it that keeps us from admitting that we're wrong, that we need God, that we're not a good person? It's this. It's pride, man. It's pride. It's that pride inside of us that keeps us from so many good things. It's that pride. It's that, nope, I'm not going to admit it. I'm not going to admit that I'm wrong. I'm not going to admit that I'm guilty. I'm not going to say I'm sorry. I'm not going to admit that I need accountability. I am not going to admit that I need help. I am whole. I am strong. Ugh, I am man. I don't need anybody, right? I'm not going to do that. It's my pride that keeps me from that. It's my pride that keeps me from being baptized. It's my pride that keeps me from praying. It's my pride that keeps me away from the altar. It's my pride from letting myself open up to God and being vulnerable. It's my pride that keeps me from seeing a counselor. It's my pride that keeps me from going to the pastor and asking for help. It's my pride that keeps me from calling another friend and admitting that we don't know what to do. Our pride will literally drive us to divorce people when divorce didn't even have to be an option, but we couldn't seek help. We couldn't ask for help. We weren't willing to be vulnerable, and so it was our pride. We literally put our marriage on the line. We were willing to turn in our marriage instead of staying in it and working on it because our pride wouldn't let us admit that we were guilty, that we were wrong, that we needed accountability. It was our pride that caused us to lose our job. It was our pride that cost us our relationship with our kid because nobody was willing to yield and nobody was willing to submit and nobody was willing to admit that they were not a good person. And it's that pride that keeps us so caged, that ruins so many opportunities, that takes us away from so many good things in life. But here's the good news, because I've been very depressing. I may even made you feel a little guilty right now, but you wouldn't admit it because you're a good person, okay? Here's the good news. God doesn't care if you're a good person. Now, that's bad news, good news, right? Because the bad news is that your whole life, that's what you've been shooting for and hoping would get you into heaven. That didn't work. God could care less if you are a good person. God could care less if you are better than most, because sin is sin. And in God's eyes, the smallest sin is just as great as the greatest sin. God doesn't care what most people say about you, because God knows you better than anybody else. And that dark part of you, that one, two, three people who would say that you're a bad person because they've seen what you're like in traffic, they've seen what you're like in a relationship, they've seen what you're like at home after you've had too much, or you're angry, or they catch you on the wrong day. Here's the thing, God would say that was a snapshot of the real you. Everything else that everybody else sees is just you filtering. So God doesn't really care if most people would say you're a good person, because they're not on the jury when you get to the gates. And God doesn't care if you're good most of the time. It doesn't work that way. But here's why this is good news. You don't need to worry about being a good person. And he loves you regardless, the same, no matter what. See, here's the thing. God loves you not based on your performance. God doesn't love me more because of what I do or the person that I am or the people's lives that I touch. God doesn't love me more than you. He loves us all the same. God loves the worst bad person as much as he loves the other bad people. God loves everybody, regardless, in spite of. God doesn't care if you're a good person, and that should be so freeing to you, because what it should do is open you up to the idea that you don't have to be perfect, that this is not a gold star system, that you don't have to look the part or appease anybody. It doesn't matter what most people say. Everybody in the world could call you the biggest jerk in the world, and it wouldn't matter, because in the end, only his opinion matters, and he knows you best, and he says you are a loved child of God, worth sending his son to die for on the cross so that you could be forgiven. That's how much he loves you. So stop focusing on trying to be a good person, because a good person isn't going to get you anywhere. It's not about being a good person. He doesn't care if you're a good person. He loves you in spite of all of that. It's not something that you have to focus on. It's not something that you have to worry about. And I love what Paul said in Romans 5:8. He says, God demonstrated all of this. He demonstrated his love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. While we were still sinners, while he knew that you were going to let him down, he knew you were going to be a bad person, he knew you were going to sin, he knew you were going to be selfish, he knew you were going to make mistakes. He knew all of that in advance, and yet he still sacrificed his son for you, so you could be forgiven, so you could have a second chance, so your life could be resurrected, and like Pastor Josh said, so dead things in your life could be brought back to life and have a heartbeat again, so that you could have second chances, so that no matter how many bad things you did, there was always a chance at redemption. And God said in this, while he still knew that you would never be perfect, that you would never be able to fit the mold perfectly, still he did this so you could always have a second chance. So there could always be an opportunity to turn back. And although we can't erase the past, we can always make things new. And anybody can change. Anybody can be transformed. And nobody is too far gone. Isn't that good news? That's the gospel message. Is that the creator of the world, even though we were bad people, and even though we'll never be perfect, God still pursues us. And even though that means we have to admit that we're guilty, even though it means we have to admit we are accountable, even though it means we have to admit that we're wrong, what we get in return is this. What I get in return when I acknowledge that the issue isn't God's existence, but the issue is my resistance. When I acknowledge that if we believe in God, we're forgiven. And if we believe in God, there's a relationship. And if we believe in God, we get truth. That's what I get in return, is a relationship with a Savior. What I get is forgiveness. And I didn't have to do a thing, or I didn't have to be a good person to earn it. It's freely given to me. And it doesn't matter if I keep continuing to screw up or be somewhat of a bad person. I'm probably going to. I'm probably going to say the wrong thing. I'm probably going to be guilty at times. But it's okay, because His grace provides and His grace covers, and I can come back to Him and He will always take me back, and I am never too far gone. He will always be wanting a relationship with me. And if I believe in God, I finally can start being accountable and get the truth. I can stop filtering everything. I can stop wearing a mask. I can stop pretending like I'm a good person, and I can be honest with myself and others, and I can get down to the bottom of the truth of what it really means to be in love, and what it really means to be a man, and what it really means to be a woman, what it really means to be a husband, what it really means to be a wife, what it really means to be a dad, what it really means to be a mom. I can get down to the bottom of things and find my purpose in life and the plans that God has for me, and why I'm really here and what really matters, and I can discover what's real. That's what I get. But again, let's go back to that statement, Bo. I have to acknowledge that the issue isn't God's existence. It's my resistance. And I have to stop fighting that. And I have to stop blaming God for everything. And I have to admit that the reason I don't believe is because I don't want to. Because I would rather believe that I'm a good person. And I don't want to feel bad. I don't want to feel guilty. I don't want to admit that I need help. I don't want to admit that I'm wrong. Here's the thing, is that really getting you anywhere? See, that's your pride talking. That's your pride. But pride doesn't get you anywhere. What the anti-pride is this, it's humility. Humility is what keeps us from our pride at bay. Humility says, I know how small I am. I know how weak I am. I know that I need help. And all of this is really summed up perfectly in James, which brother of Jesus said. He said, you come near to God and He will come near to you. Wash your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts. You double-minded, humble yourselves before the Lord, and He will lift you up. This right here is why these two girls, Stephanie and Jenna, are being baptized today. Because they have learned that God loves them. That God loves them so much that He showed the world by sending His one and only Son, something that you and I could never comprehend and never do. He sent His Son to be the final sacrifice so nobody had to work for forgiveness or grace any longer. It became a free gift where you could be a bad person and you didn't have to do a thing, and you didn't, even though you didn't deserve it, He gave it to you, and He gave us an opportunity to come to Him and wash our hands and be purified, to be resurrected, to be made new, to be given a second chance where the past is the past and the future is wide open. And He gave us that opportunity to purify ourselves, and all we got to do is humble ourselves enough to admit that I have sinned, that I'm not a good person, that I'm never going to be perfect, I'm always going to struggle, but that doesn't matter. Because it doesn't matter how good of a person I am, because it's not about being good. It's about being loved, okay? It is not about being a good person. It's about being loved. And embracing that love, and embracing that forgiveness, and embracing that grace, and accepting it, putting yourself underneath it, humbling yourself at the Creator's knees, and understanding that you need help. That's what these girls are celebrating today. It's already happened in their heart. There's nothing magical about the water. There's nothing magical about what we're about to do out there. It's a public celebration of that. That these little girls have decided that this is what they want. And here's the thing. Some of you need to do that too. Some of you have been living a prideful life for far too long. And look, the people who in here who have already made that decision, they were in the same boat as you. And it's okay. There are no good people in this room. There are none, me included. There are no good people in this room. There are people who have accepted the love of God and people who haven't. And here's the thing. He invites you. It's wide open. It's yours for the taking. All you have to do is humble yourself enough to admit that you're guilty, that you're accountable, that you're wrong. And that swallowing the pride moment, it is very, very humbling. We've all been there. It is very, very humbling. And it will continue to be humbling because you will realize just how stupid you are. I realize it every day. That's okay. Because I'm not worried about being a good person. I'm worried about who he says I am. And I'm worried about his love and holding on to it and drawing from it and getting more of it every single day. So here's the thing. I want to believe. All you've got to do is stop resisting. It's not his existence that's the issue. It's your resistance. And this morning, as these girls come and they'll be baptized, look, you may not have come with a change of clothes or a plan to do this, but maybe God is speaking to you right now, and this is exactly what you need to do. Maybe today's the day you need to kill your pride, and you need to swallow it, and you need to humble yourself, and you need to let him in, and make the decision to follow him, make the decision to have a relationship with him. Stop worrying about being a good person. Stop worrying about what everybody else says about you. Stop worrying about comparing yourself to others and worrying about being better than most. Worry about what he says you are. And what he's saying today is you have the chance to be forgiven. I have shown you how much I love you. Show me how much you love me. And you are forgiven. Let's pray this morning. God, this morning we come to you and I thank you so much for what you've done for us, for sending your child on the cross for us, for that sacrifice that you made, that God, none of us would be willing to make. All of us, we're selfish people. We'll hold on to whatever we think we deserve or what is ours. We would never give it up freely, especially to somebody who's done something wrong. And God, you gave it up while knowing that we were all sinners, that every other person after your son was going to be a sinner. You still gave us your son so that we didn't have to work for it. We didn't have to do a thing. It was a free gift given to us. Righteousness, forgiveness, atonement for all of our sins. So God, this morning, will you open up our hearts? God, this morning, for some of us, you've really just pricked at our pride and it has hurt. You have popped that balloon and you have spoken to us. And right now you're saying to us right now, this is you, man. This is you. We are holding on to that pride. You think you are so strong and it has gotten you nowhere. You continually go down this trail and I am trying to get you on a different track. And I want to bless you. I want to help you. I want to show you the truth. I want to have a relationship with you. I want you to be forgiven and I want you to be free. Just let it go. Humble yourself before me. Come to me, give me your burdens, and I will help you carry them. I will totally embrace where you are now. You are not too far gone, and you are in the same boat as everybody else. I want you to stop trying to be a good person, stop trying to perform well, stop trying to look apart, and just be with me. God, this morning, if you're speaking to anybody's heart this morning to make that decision, pray that this morning we would say, God, I just forgive me of my sins. Forgive me of my selfishness. Forgive me for trying to do things my own way. Forgive me for trying to be a good person, for comparing myself to others. Because God, this morning, It's too gray to be able to tell what a good person is. What I want to be is I want to be a child of God. What I want to be is loved by you and embraced by you. And what I want is a relationship with you. What I want is forgiveness. What I want this morning with you is I want the truth. And I appreciate you speaking the truth this morning, God. I appreciate you telling me what it is I needed to hear. There's no excuses from this point forward. I've heard the gospel message. I've heard the truth. And so, God, here I am before you. God, I thank you for these girls this morning who have made the decision to humble themselves, who have found a relationship with you through our ministry here. God, this is for me, for many of the people who volunteer, for the people who give to this generously and support this ministry. This is what it's all about. And God, I pray that you would just change these girls' lives, that no matter where they go or what they encounter or what they do, that they would always come back to this moment, to this decision, that they would remember you, that your hands would always be near, that they would feel your presence there, that they would feel your love and your grace, that they would feel your comfort when they need it. That God, your spirit would always live inside of their hearts and speak to them, and that you would always be present, God. We love you this morning. Thank you so much for this opportunity, for this celebration that we're about to have. We just give it all to you. We lay it all at your feet, and we thank you so much. In your name we pray. Amen.